Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And before I get to Thursday Night Football, injury reports are the types of, or just generally, things that are happening at practice are the types of things that a Friday is going to be packed with. Here locally in Houston, the fellas are practicing on the field at NRG. D'Amico likes doing that to help them visualize, get themselves ready for the weekend that will be on Sunday at noon versus the Tennessee Titans. Someone who it feels like will not be there, Derek Stingley Jr. He has not practiced in any of the three practices this week, which typically portends to the idea that that person will not play. And so, what are your feelings? How do you feel right now going into that, especially knowing that you're probably going to have MJ Stewart obviously starting, but then Tremont Smith is going to get a lot of burn, it seems like, as well.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, back to the last segment, it does get complicated. And I'm not doing that sarcastically.
I remember you was conflicted.
I'm not doing it sarcastically because it's not, you have to realize it's not just one position in the defensive secondary, as you just pointed out, it's two. That are going to have new faces in the starting lineup. It does make you wonder, you know, just as good as the defense is, there's going to have to be some stepping up. You know, there's going to absolutely have to be some stepping up.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing. I don't know how much I trust the Titans to be able to attack
the
defense, especially with what's happened with Calvin Ridley of late. I have to get to that audio. Maybe I'll just get to it here. But Calvin Ridley, they are really working on trying to get him together. Actually, you know what? Bleep it. Let's do the audio here. All right. So I'll start with Calvin Ridley. This is the Titans wide receiver coach talking about Calvin Ridley. As you remember, Calvin has had a rough go of it to start the season. He's looked bad. He's looked, I could just stop it bad.
Yeah, he's looked bad.
This was apparently all the things that they're going through to try and help him be better.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ridd knows exactly what he needs to do. He's got to go out there and do it. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you he's got to make more plays. But I think he knows what to do, and we try to surround him with the resources to do it with, whether it's the tennis balls, you know, every day catching with
the lobster machine.
Yeah. I have the some special made glasses that you can barely see out of them that he catches with those tennis balls. So he does that. Again, he catches on the jugs all the time. Just keep working. Keep working. He'll bounce back. I'm confident.
I'm not the only one that wants to see those glasses, am I?
Oh, I know you do.
I'm in the same boat.
Know you do. Give
this
me one moment.
This would be
moment.
Cool.
I will show them to you
this would be
here
really,
in a moment.
Really cool.
And I will have you describe them to the audience if I can find them.
Is again, it like a little course. Slit or something?
It is not a slit. Yeah. So, like, think of them as, like, let's say, Ray-Bans. Mm-hmm. It'd be the top little corners on the outside are cut out where
like
you can
darken.
Just...
It's basically, it's your...
No, it's like a full plastic on the front. It's
but
just
like
little...
your line of sight is limited.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And of course, I believe there was.
I kind of want to try them on, see if I can catch a tennis ball. Probably break my nose.
I have a strong feeling that you couldn't. I'm just going to be honest. Like,
man, I got good hands.
No shape. All right, if you say so. At all. I'll find
I believe in you, Lopez.
Me. Thank you. See, someone believes in me.
He doesn't actually mean it. He's just saying things.
So they're wide receivers, huh? I thought they were going to be, you know, a better impact, have a better impact than they've had. So it's going to be, in a weird way, that's one of the most key matchups of this game because of what we just talked about with MJ Stewart and, you know, obviously, you know, Derek Stingley being out and all of a sudden Calvin Ridley needs to get going. it's going to be very interesting to see how that matchup plays out and how much they use it.
Yeah. All right. So while we're hearing from coaches from Tennessee, I'll throw this in here. This is a Tennessee cornerbacks coach, Tony Oden. You remember we played a little audio of Lajarius Sneed apparently needing a little bit of a refresher on who Nico Collins was.
Yeah.
When he was asked about him, only one of the top, let's say, 15 wide receivers in the league. Lajarius Sneed didn't have an idea. Well, this is Tony Oden, the cornerback coach for the Tennessee Titans, trying to cover for Lajarius, it seems.
Good question, but it definitely wasn't an egging on. One of the things that we always talk about is a nameless, faceless opponent. Obviously, I respect Nico, and so does he, and so does everyone in our room, but it's not about that. It's about us, you know, and I think that's what he was trying to articulate, and that's what he meant. It's about what we're doing, how we're doing it. We treat everyone over there with the utmost respect. This NFL is full of phenomenal receivers. Each team we play every week, every day, you know, everyone has a superstar. So I think it was more of that. I know it was more of that than it was egging on, because he had respectful.
Yeah, I'm selling that. Harken back to yesterday at 12:40. Sell. Yeah, you can say that all you want. You can even believe it. That's not how it was taken.
Also, isn't that a terrible way of trying to handle opponents, nameless, faceless receivers? Oh, no, you should probably know the names and faces of some of these receivers or they will torture ass.
Yeah.
Namely, Nico Collins when things are going well. So, yeah, go ahead and go nameless, faceless receivers and guard. Go ahead and guard Christian Kirk in the same way that you guard Nico Collins and see how that goes.
See how that happens.
Please.
And you just showed me the glasses. I definitely want to try those on and catch a tennis ball now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you got it, brother. I'll be honest. I'm not sure you got it. Yeah, I found that to be fascinating. All right. Thursday night football, the Seattle Seahawks defeated the Arizona Cardinals 23-20, a last-second field goal in a game that felt like it was not going to come down.
Never going to be close, was it?
To those things.
Yeah.
What was the thing that jumped off the screen for you in this game? Because there was a number of things on either side of the football.
I had a lot of knee-jerk reactions to this game. And so let me just kind of go through some of them and tell me if you agree or disagree. Over the course of the game, I'm watching it. Knee-jerk reaction number one, I mentioned earlier. Damn, that is a very well-constructed Seattle offense. I'm talking about, now forget the points and all that, just the things that they do. We talked about, you know, 12 personnel and mixing it up and how they use their run game and how they spread teams out and then they go to this and then they go to that. Just, that was knee-jerk reaction number one. Like, that is what an NFL offense should look like. Whether it's ultimately successful or not, I liked what they were doing. That's one. The other one that I had, I don't think you can win big time. I don't think you can win big time in this league with Kyler Murray. I just don't. I really don't. Number three.
You think that was a Kyler Murray issue?
No. I'm just saying as my reactions as I'm watching this game.
I'm not saying that I disagree, by the way. Like, I think Kyler Murray absolutely has some issues.
Sort of spitballing passing thoughts, if you will, as I'm watching this game.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the Seattle offense, FOMO. Kyler Murray, I don't think you can win long-term big time with him. Number three, what the hell is going on with Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, Junior, it was such a weird game for Junior because he started off as it's looked for, I mean, his rookie year and then the start of the season to the point where Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, this was good.
Kirk Herbstreit does a little bit of a breakdown. This is what it sounded like, and this is like around halftime, I think, if memory serves. And I would like to, I would like you to really pay attention to the dismount on this because I thought it was disrespectful as hell.
You know, when you're the fourth pick overall last year, there are going to be big expectations. This becomes a theme here in Phoenix. There he gives up on a crossing route. Ball's picked off. They're lucky to get that one back. Here on third and short, miscommunication. Quarterback wants the out. He adjusts to a fade. And then here, just looking ahead, trying to see where the contact might be. Not able to finish on the play. And again, I just think you see a guy who's uberly talented, just not playing with confidence. It's like his mind is paralyzing his ability to be the receiver he can be.
Didn't need the Lee. Just uber talented would work.
Yeah. I was like, oh, his mind is paralyzing his body, huh? That's wild.
That does happen.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because you almost saw him what felt like maybe break out of it as the game went. The great jump pass or, you know, jump ball in the end zone that gets a touchdown, kind of gets the Cardinals going and ultimately gets them close enough to where they could tie the football game. I'll be honest, one of the takeaways I had was, okay, I need to be a lot nicer to Sam Darnold because last year...
That's another one of mine.
Last year, yeah. I was more on the... I think this is a smoke and mirrors where Kevin O'Connell is creating things within this offense for Sam Darnold. I've seen enough of Sam Darnold to know I don't really trust him all that much. I think Sam Darnold, you can go further back to like Geno Smith, you can look at Baker Mayfield. I think that all of these guys are doing something where they're reestablishing the value of veteran and experience at the quarterback position. We had gotten to a place where we were so focused on talent,
yeah.
And I think Anthony Richardson ends up being like the peak
yeah.
of that.
Poster
where
child, so
you're like,
speak.
Look, we're yeah. just talking about just get the talent at quarterback. But quarterback, I mean, you're playing chess mm-hmm. in any of these games, and being able to have experience and know what's happening. I was telling you mm-hmm. that Cody Kessler did a great job of breaking down a Baker Mayfield play this past week, where we're past 15 seconds on the play clock, so mm-hmm. we know he's not getting from the coaches. He's looking up. He sees a zero blitz. He changes the entire play to be able to mitigate what they're doing and force them into something else defensively. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that's something that a dude in year eight, Baker Mayfield, mind you,
yeah.
that experience allows him to play that chess. And we're seeing some of that with Sam Darnold, the touch that
he had.
We've
seen a lot of that with Sam Darnold.
We've seen that with Geno to some yeah. degree, although he's had a rough start to the season thus far. I think that the value of veteran experience is showing up.
Yeah, that was another knee-jerk reaction I had was on Sam Darnold, and you covered it well, so I won't go on that. The last one that I thought of as I'm watching this game last night, I kind of shudder to think what this Seattle defense is going to do to this Texans offense. That is a quality defense that Seattle has. And
Mike McDonald likes coming with it.
And
man.
Against this offense, it's kind of daunting.
Oh, and I forgot, Jackson Smith and Jigba was good at football.
Like, yes,
I think that
too.
One's obvious. We kind of knew that, but he was looked at as, oh, he's a slot guy. He plays everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
He does all of this. He looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess a lot of people on the text line, you guys had one big takeaway, which is, hey, wasn't Clint Kubiak available when you were looking for an offense coordinator?
He was available. You are 100% correct.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. There. All right, we continue around the NFL, and I want to remind you that Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch a local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, and you can visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I got a little bit more audio here for you. Tua Tagovailoa, speaking of quarterbacks that have had a rough go of it, he's had a lot of criticism, and I think rightfully so. Some of it came from one Cam Newton. We know he's gotten into his media bag, whether it's First Take or his Fourth and One podcast or whatever. This was Tua in responding to all the criticism, including Cam Newton. Do you approve of the way that he decides to try?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
And confront this criticism.
Well, anybody can play quarterback in this league then. I mean, I want to see anybody on the streets come and play quarterback. I mean, Cam's doing his thing for sure, but... You know, I think it's easier to be able to hold a clicker and talk about it that way, or talk about what someone else is doing wrong when you're not going out and having to do the same as them, right? So I think it's easy to do that. I think anybody can do that. I don't think anybody can play quarterback.
Is he saying that Cam Newton can't play quarterback right now?
NFL MVP Cam Newton. Cam Newton, who is the reason why Ron Rivera has a job to the degree, or had a job for a long time.
By the way, fits into the, athlete at quarterback. What you were talking about earlier. Like,
oh, but Cam could
talent.
Do this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, to be fair, Cam's mechanics were always bad.
Right.
He was just really strong and really big. And if you got into third and short, that was a first down.
Yeah.
But Cam could do this, man. Mm-hmm. Cam was really good at quarterback. And so... I just feel like you get to the point where you're like, well, you come do it then. You lost, buddy. And then not only that, because that would already be bad enough. Well, I mean, it's easy to be over there talking about it. Cam, why don't you come do it? He has.
He did.
He has really well.
He did.
Really bleeping well, dude.
Tua makes it so hard. Like, pivot back to question of the day. Like, that's my complicated. Because I enjoyed watching him in college, and now it's just, dude, just Go practice and go throw that football, man. You're calling out Cam to try and challenge Cam Newton, bro. Yeah. The guy won an MVP.
Well, he's in a place where he has to defend his existence. Mm-hmm. So I get how he's lashing out. It's just because, again, I'm trying to think. If I was Tua Tagovailoa, knowing the issues that he has, that he clearly does, I don't know how I defend myself that doesn't come off silly, mm-hmm. but that comes off silly.
Especially when you name names and it's that name. It's yeah, absolutely silly.
Yeah, so best of luck, Tua. Like, I think that one is one of those. The hip injury that he sustained coming into the league clearly robbed him of some things, and he already was a very particular guy that needed certain skills or certain parameters for him to be successful.
Yeah.
That one, I don't know if how conflicted I am. I think I'm out on the Tua Tagovailoa experience, and mm-hmm. personally. And I held on way longer than I think a lot of other people did because I knew that the injuries had factored in and some of those other things. How about this? I want to go back to Thursday Night Football. Obviously, the Amazon Prime video team, they have a lot of great analysis. They were talking about the Giants and obviously what they're doing. They're turning to Jackson Dart as the starting quarterback mm-hmm. a week ahead of where I would going against the Chargers, but that's neither here nor there. What is here is remembering that the person who was displaced is Russell Wilson, and he made it clear that he's not going to seek a trade or whatever. Can you start with Tony Gonzalez here? Because Tony Gonzalez was asked a question about Russell Wilson, and I was very intrigued by it. I just liked his answer. It was funny to me.
Honestly, I hope we have. And I say that because I just looking at him and his career, his legacy, like you talked about, if ever there was somebody who played himself out of a Hall of Fame, it's Russell Wilson.
All right, so my bad. The question that was asked of him was, do you think we've seen the last of Russell Wilson as a starting
quarterback? God, I hope so.
Damn, Tony!
I was just, what? Seen the last of him? Oh, God, hope so.
Please, for the love of God,
yes.
But then on top of that, the notion of playing himself out of the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. I think people, I don't necessarily know what the voters are going to do. But I think players can do that. And I think Russell Wilson is one that is certainly in the discussion of playing himself out of the Hall of Fame. I think he had 10 Pro Bowls and, of course, Super Bowl and everything else. And you would think, well, of course. But when you start thinking about it and the end and the defense that with which he played and the running backs with which he played, et cetera.
I'm glad you mentioned that because Richard Sherman decided to answer as well on this question. And this was his answer.
I think you got to judge his career off when the Legion of Boom was there. He had a legendary defense, an all-time defense, and how much success he had. And then without that legendary defense, the success he had. Without that legendary defense, he's been 4-11, 7-8, 0-3 to start with the Giants. He was a winning football player in Seattle, and people said, hey, winning is football player, all this good stuff, all these accolades, and now you get to go on your own and you get to prove, hey, I'm this great quarterback, I'm this guy that's going to be dominant, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
Where did he play?
Yeah, he played on that Legion of Boom defense.
Oh, that's right.
What's funny is there was a lot of places where I would have just heard that as regular analysis because he's not wrong about this. But that immediately took me to you remember when Russell Wilson left Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden all his former teammates were coming out and seemingly bashing him, including like defensive. That all of that context popped up immediately when he started talking about. Well, you know, when he doesn't got a defense and a running game, he's been terrible.
Yes, if I wasn't there. He's not good.
I was like, yo. Don't you think he's played himself out? I didn't have him in the Hall of Fame to begin with. Okay, and that's the point I wanted to get to.
Maybe because of some of this.
I already knew that he was kind of more of a game manager in that place. Not to say that he was bad. In fact, I was one of the people on the Let Russ Cook train at the end, so I was wrong in that regard.
Yeah.
I think that this should slow us down on some of the guys, especially borderline guys, that were like, yeah, put him in the Hall of Fame. Because if you can feel like you can play a dude played his way out of the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. he probably wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
We were just eager. It's more on us than it is on him.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Nick Cayley talked to the Assemble Media yesterday. I imagine that's giving us a little bit of insight into how you feel.
Ouch.
Did him talking make you feel any better about the offense that we will see on Sunday? Let's do it next. Yeah, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Football Friday to you. We're gearing up for Texans-Titans, a must-win, if I say so, a turning point possibly game, if you have to listen to John Lopez say it.
It is.
Fair? Accurate?
Accurate.
Okay. How confident are you that it will be a turning point offensively? 713-572-4610, because the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, spoke yesterday. I won't say that it was combative, but obviously he ran up against a little bit of tough questions somewhat about his offense, and because it's required, it's deserved at this point. One of the most interesting ones for me, John Lopez, was cut seven here, Byron, because Nick Caley was asked specifically about this offense and it being kind of the Patriot offense, as Todd Bowles had described it, and why it is the right offensive system to get C.J. Stroud, the most important, you know, franchise quarterback, back on track.
Well, again, this is our system. This is not a copy and paste New England Patriots system. Okay, if that's what you're alluding to, I'm asking. But relative to the system, I think everything we've done has been very intentional to be able to cater it around our players, to simplify the make the verbiage very. And we stripped everything down to the studs in the spring. So I think the thing that this system does is allow our guys to be able to have enough bandwidth and flexibility to alter schemes to fit the guys that we have from week to week. And that's what it does. Whether it's, again, in the run game, gap schemes, perimeter play, zone, mid zone, wide zone, like we can activate those based on who we're facing and who we have available. And I think the from a language standpoint, we've cleaned that up and from the time we got here.
Well, that's my first response.
ISO! You got me, dog. Go ahead.
When you hear that, you know, I swear to God, which I know some people say you shouldn't do that. I swear to God.
That's John Lopez, by the way.
I like this dude. But everything about that answer, like every single element about that answer, tells you that it's the New England system.
Even the even the way he handled the question is New England system, huh?
Okay, let's start that. Let's start there. I was going to get to there, but let's start there. This was a 40-second response. I looked at how long the response was.
Advanced stats for you.
In 40 seconds, he said...
Why are you laughing, Byron? Is it right?
Is it right?
Yeah, it's 39.8.
40 seconds. In a span of 40 seconds, he said, relative to intentional verbiage, stripped down to the studs, and bandwidth and activate. In 40 seconds, he used every Patriots word known to mankind. Every single one. Let me say that in 40 seconds, relative to intentional, verbiage, bandwidth, stripped down to the studs,
you
activate.
Mad at him? You mad at him for having some interesting diction? Is that what we're doing
and
here?
Then in that answer in which he basically went to the New England Patriots, you know, book of words to use when you want to use word salad, he said they're not the Patriots offense. So let's go back to that now. They're not the Patriots offense. What did he say? It's
our offense.
It's our offense.
I actually take issue, look, again, the Patriots offense thing. Todd Bowles, he's done this for a long time, and he's coached against those Patriots.
Todd Bowles was in your division for about 8 or 9 years.
He's not the only one who's done that.
Yeah.
Who's said that.
Said it.
That's right.
The Texans have said it.
And the thing about it, and I understand the people that will point out, oh, well, the Patriots offense hasn't worked that well without Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying. I think the thing that hits me more than anything is the idea of the flexibility and the strip down. Like, inherently, this offense is a little bit inflexible because you're not running routes where that you now piece them together. You're running entire concepts. You'll see flood concepts. You'll see switch concepts. You'll see those types of things, or smash concepts, rather. You'll see things of that nature that are kind of built into the entirety of the way that this, either like route combinations or the entirety of the route concept is there. That's not going to be too much an opportunity to pare that down and strip it and move it around necessarily, I don't think, right? The concepts are built in. How you get to them switch and change, and the ways that you're able to disguise them, I imagine, change. So, like, even that, I do wonder how much you can actually tailor it to that. So that was the thing that got me more than anything, like, inherent to this system. And if it is your system, I need to see more of that mix, because right now, you telling me this is Chex Mix, and I'm looking at it, and it's just a whole bunch of M&Ms. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how Chex Mix is made. You don't just drop in one piece of Chex in there, and it's Chex Mix. I'm seeing a whole bunch of M&Ms.
My sweeping big takeaway here is the wagons might not be circled, but they're circling. Because clearly he's starting to get a little defensive, starting to feel it a little more. You know, like I mentioned, he went to the Book of New England and all that. But here's the other thing. We talked about Todd Bowles. Here's the other thing. All right, it's not the New England Patriots offense, huh? Why the hell did you have C.J. Stroud watch tape after tape after tape of New England and Tom Brady? Why'd you do that?
I mean, to play more like Tom Brady. I don't know. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. Like, I think that that's indefensible at as far as, mm-hmm. at the very least, it is incredibly inspired by that Patriots offense. And it's fine if that's the case. Ultimately, I think the big thing for you is, and I know that that's probably more of an organizational, mm-hmm. we don't want to have that attachment to the Patriots. Run it well.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if it's the Patriots offense if you run it well.
We wouldn't care.
Right, like that's the thing that ultimately I'm trying to get to, which is why if you bring me to cut four, where Nick Haley was asked about, have you made any changes given the slow start to the season? This is what Nick said.
I mean, sure, we look at what we can do. I mean, whether it's scheme or run types in certain games, I mean, it's all going to be relative to, you know, who we have out there, who we're facing and stuff like that. Things that, you know, maybe not have not worked as well in the flow of a game, we might get away from and try to get to some alternative runs and stuff like that. Or, you know, based on looks that you're expecting and maybe you get a different look in a game, you'll alter and go a different direction at that point, too.
Look, you know, and you know, the actual changes and adjustments, I'm glad you brought that up. Because he talked about, and we have the other clips as well, the other cuts as well, but he talked about showing improvement, you know, the potential changes, the route tree, which I thought was very interesting. All this is clearly something that they need to adjust and they want to make changes and improvements upon. But it ultimately comes back to, is he capable of doing that? Because you can talk all you want about the things that are happening in this New England style offense, this New England offense, sorry, Nick, but it is, no matter what you might say with your verbiage, it's clearly something that we're not sure through three games that he's capable of doing.
Yeah, I think this is a style versus, or like this is a textbook versus application mm-hmm. type thing, where I think in theory, yeah, these are some of the things that you would imagine you think of for how you switch things. And they have switched their approach through, you know, in these various weeks. The fact of the matter, though, is none of that has changed the fact that they have not been good on early downs. And you could say that's because of penalties or whatever. You need to actually just be able to create, you know, big plays on early downs. That's what good offenses do. This isn't a good offense, right? On top of that, obviously, you want to be out of third and mm-hmm. third down and long or whatever, but you have not been particularly good on third down. Like, I could take you through all of these other circumstances. I have not seen those things show up. So I think that's what I need. I need to see the execution of it. And it's tough because when you talk about any offense, you want to be able to go and attack and play the chess of this match.
You've talked about that a couple times, and that's what I'm worried about.
And right now, I think what's been clear through the first 3 weeks is that Nick Haley is not far enough in his development. And I think that's the kind of way of looking at this. Mm-hmm. He's not far enough in his development to play chess yet. I think CJ Stroud is still on the uptick with this system. And in order to be able to play the chess of it, like compared to like the Baker Mayfield thing mm-hmm. that I was talking about earlier, where Baker Mayfield is able to, with the experience that he has, without coaching, be able to change some things and make some things happen, which, by the way, I'm looking forward to it when we eventually see CJ have that real, I guess, ability to change things as we had kind of been promised. But then on top of that, like, you don't have the crazy playmakers that are going to dictate things to the defense. I'm wondering where, until everybody has a good grasp of this offense, assuming that they have the opportunity to, where that advantage comes from.
Yeah, and it's just infuriating. Let me reiterate, I really...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
I like this guy. Every time I've been around him, things I've heard about him, etc. This is just dumb. You know, he tried to sort of deflect away from, you know, and I don't even know why. You're right. If it worked, who cares? If it was, hey, this is the New England offense, and we're 3-0, and we're scoring 28 points a game, we're like, bravo, let's go. You know, maybe CJ's the next, you know, the next Tom Brady. But I want you to listen to this first cut again, and just imagine yourselves, Texans fans that have been here for any amount of time, if Bill O'Brien said this.
Well, again, this is our system. This is not a copy and paste New England Patriots system. Okay, if that's what you're alluding to, I'm asking. But relative to the system, I think everything we've done has been very intentional to be able to cater it around our players, to simplify the make the verbiage very. And we stripped everything down to the studs in the spring. So I think the thing that this system does is allow our guys to be able to have enough bandwidth and flexibility to alter schemes to fit the guys that we have from week to week. And that's what it does. Whether it's again in the run game, gap schemes, perimeter play. Zone, mid zone, wide zone, like we can activate those based on who we're facing and who we have available. And I think from a language standpoint, we've cleaned that up and from the time we got here.
We would be losing our minds. I've lost my mind. but we would be losing our minds. And this is the question I had for you before the show. Did he say anything that gives you confidence? Anything.
Not pursuant to like the schematics of this just yet. I know that they've said like the game plan type things, and that's kind of fallen in line with the rhetoric all the way through.
Yeah.
I've seen like even in the way that they've game planned, I was like looking at the Jaguars game, I didn't think that would be such a pass heavy game as they kind of came out with. So sometimes I even wonder like what are they looking to attack game plan wise? Like how are they identifying what they're attacking? So I'm curious. And again, the only thing that I'm placing my hope on is I know that these general concepts that are being used as prevalent as they are or like as well known as they are to defenses, I know that they can be effective. Do you see people latch on and find a way to make the minor portions of this more effective? Or really,
you say latch on, I think the term is buy in.
And that's, I don't know if it's buy in. I think it's like I do think that there's been some execution things that happen within this, or just knowledge of the offense or whatever, that I think still remains to be seen. Because again, he was asked about like guys ending up in the same spot receiver wise, like routes ending up in the same spot.
Do you think they're buying in?
I think that they.
You think CJ Stroud's buying in?
I do. I think that there's an optionality that exists within the offense that, okay, this, because again, it's play concepts. And I know these play concepts are generally designed to have guys in certain places. But when you I need an option and I need to, you know, take a different route here or, you know, have a different release, and then all of a sudden you end up where someone else is, that's from not having the experience in this system. But all things considered, like, there's been instances where you have guys who, I was going back and watching some plays, and you have someone like a Ariante Ursery, little breakdowns, the times where they have had an opportunity to be successful in a minor way, they've had little breakdowns. Hopefully they get those cleaned up and you're able to be just a little bit better. But I don't see a great offense coming out of this, especially not this week. I'm hoping for the most minor of improvements, better defense against a bad team, and hopefully that gets you over for the time being as you try and get better. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping on this Football Friday. I'll give you an update as to what's happening with the Good Samaritan baseball fan, but also what's happening with the Astros, because they had a big victory, but what do we still need to see the Astros make the playoffs? Let's talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, I would like to start in What's Poppin' by acknowledging one Framber Valdez for doing the funniest thing possible, which is after a number of us, I will at least say myself, got to the points where we're like, all right, I can't keep doing this to myself. Whatever, man. It's over. Wrap it up. He's like, not so fast, my friend, in Lee Corso fashion. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, didn't even get to 100 pitches, and a lot of hair less. And he he finished out what could possibly be his final outing in an Astros jersey. In as like one, probably one of his best outings of the year.
It was classic Framber.
I mean, if it wasn't for a good period of time there, because I honestly didn't keep track of it towards the latter portions of his outing, he had only strikeouts or groundouts. Like he was hitting the recipe to a T for Framber Valdez on the mound. And interestingly enough, he did that, and the Astros offense gave him all the run support he could possibly want. This was quite a. I don't even know if I could enjoy it nearly as much. It was a relief in some ways, but I was also like, why the hell did it take so long for all of this to come together?
I was like, oh, there it is. There's Framber that can somehow pop up. What an interesting case study he is in terms of his game, his relationship with fans, how he's going to be remembered. Because, frankly, Fromber put
together... Why'd you say that? Like, he's going to die.
Because he's moving on, whether it's after this start or the next
one. That. You heard that, Byron? He sounded like he was dying. How will we remember him?
How will we remember Fromber?
He gone.
He gone.
I hope so. I love Fromber, but after that crossing up the catcher thing, bro...
That's what I'm saying.
It was just too far, like...
It's crazy.
I would have been at that mound.
Yeah. I'd have been at that mound. Just a case study on just the conflicted emotions and memories you're going to have for this guy. But he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid.
That was what I was thinking. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, contract year and all that, this kind of game, reminder that he still got that within him, obviously serves him personally very well going into the offseason. If you're a team on the outside, and I know that it's going to be hard for us on the inside to like, disavow ourselves of all the emotions of the roller coaster of the season, especially how he kind of pitched down the stretch. Would this game help you be right back on the Fromber train to where you don't have any issues about the other portion that middle of the season?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would anybody in this town.
This town, but I'm saying, like, if you, let's say that John Lopez is not a Houstonian, but he is an executive on a team that is looking for a starting pitcher, and looking to spend money on it. With this game, or with, you know, falling in line with what had been a fantastic season on the front end before the All-Star break, would this put you right back in there where you're like, oh yeah, big money for Fromber, I feel good again?
Me personally, having watched every bit of it, probably not. He worries me. But I do think there are going to be executives who, you know, the old thing that we always talk about, oh, we can fix him. You know, I think there are going to be executives who feel like change of scenery, their system, et cetera, is going to make it more consistent.
Yeah, 11-5 victory. I mean, you had Christian Walker go yard, thankfully. I mean, you built multiple innings, which is one of the things. You had four innings with crooked numbers on them. Like, that was the thing that really got me. It wasn't just that they had one inning where they just kept hitting the A's.
They put the five spot up quick. I mean, it was...
Yeah, two in the first, three in the second, another two in the fourth and fifth. Like, by that time, you had pummeled them, not just in one inning, but in a number of frames. And again, I don't know what to make of it, what it means. Like, obviously, this is the getaway, and now you have three to finish out in L.A. versus, or rather, in Anaheim versus the Angels. But I'm just like, I don't know. Is this something that I can anticipate carries? Because also, something that is quite as it's kept... I think Jose Altuve was talking about it. They're injured, obviously, in the ways that we know. They're also kind of injured in other ways where Jose Altuve has got, like, a nagging injury. And obviously, Isak Paredes has the hamstring and these types. Like, the fact that they were able to do that felt cool, but I was also like, how sustainable is that? Because you need it for the final three games.
Yeah.
The Detroit Tigers finished out their series with the Guardians by winning that. So you remain a game back from the wild card. Those teams tied at the top of the AL Central. And I think I still think I'm trying – the team that you're most likely to get to is the Tigers, as they finish out with a three-game set versus Boston, who only has a one-game lead over them in the wild card. So those teams are going to be battling. But you're going to need to be two games better than either Detroit or Cleveland down the stretch, whichever those teams does not win the AL Central.
You need to win the final three games if you're going to have any realistic chance. Even if you win two, you're going to have to rely on a lot. So we'll see.
Somebody said last night with Fromber was like that last good night in bed with the chick you know you're going to and should break up with. But damn, it's good. You know what?
I hate her, but...
Actually, I can make this easier, which is funny, as someone who does not smoke. Is that the last cigarette?
Yeah.
Like, that was the last cigarette. This is the last one.
Yeah.
I've heard that there's a number of them. By the way, Jason Alexander is on the mound today in Anaheim with this three-game set. You got to win them. You just got to win them.
Got to win them all.
I think so. All right. Late non-conference game tonight for the University of Houston versus Oregon State in Corvallis. It's a 9:30 p.m. start. Just to let you know, Oregon State is bad.
Yeah, they're 0-4. The Cougs will win this one.
Should.
They will win this one.
Here we go.
And then...
Y'all know what happens when Lopez starts guaranteeing
it
things.
It becomes reality. Then Texas Tech. I mean, what a game. We were talking about it last night. Had the kids over, eating some takeout, and we're just all looking forward to that Texas Tech UH game. Is it finally going to be a sellout?
What, Texas Tech UH?
That was one of the questions we asked.
Yes, it will.
I think it
Don't
will.
Ask me what shirts everybody will be wearing,
oh,
but it will
well,
be a sellout.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, look, you got Texas Tech in a historic season. If you don't think they'll make that long-ass drive from Lubbock, or all of the alumni around the state that don't think they might make a trip down to Houston,
yeah,
or it being in Houston, they're going to be out there.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
They will be out there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that will be a sellout, which is why it's all the more important, obviously, handle your business in Corvallis, but come back and be ready for what I imagine is going to be the biggest challenge of the season. A couple other notes, baseball-wise, I did want to circle back around to this. The Braves are starting Charlie Morton on Sunday, which is, I think it should be his final MLB game.
No, he said it. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I believe him.
He did.
I believe him. I said it. I believe him.
Classy, right?
I think so.
Great move. And he's going to be the opener, you know, so they'll probably pull him out from the mound. It's going to be nice. What a great career. He's got almost 150 wins. Very, very clutch, as we all know, in the postseason, you know, so yeah. Good move.
Speaking of baseball, you were talking about the Mariners fan that happened with the baseball, and he caught Cal Raleigh's 60th home run, immediately gave it to a kid. Do you feel dumb now about saying that you would have kept it for yourself? Because apparently
I changed my plan.
They found him. They found him, and he got to meet Cal Raleigh, and Cal gave him all the same stuff. He gave him a bat, and he gave him some gear. So he was able to still get the good stuff while also being a good Samaritan and a good fan in the outfield.
My confession was, I like to give any foul ball or home run ball I happen to get to a little kid, but I wasn't so sure yesterday about giving number 60 away to a kid. But it paid off, man. It paid off. They found him. They brought him in. And Cal Raleigh met him on the field, and he got all that good stuff. So being a good Samaritan pays.
Yeah, that's right. That's the reminder to have. Another thing, actually, yeah, I do want to mention this, and we'll get to something else here in a second. But Tari Eason, we talked about the ESPN's top 100. Tari Eason, notably not on that top 100, the four Texans, or goodness gracious, the four Rockets that were on there. Clearly, Kevin Durant, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr. made his way on there, and Alperen Şengün clearly was, I believe he was the second highest on that list, mm-hmm. if memory serves correctly. Yeah, because he was 25th. I remember that vividly. So those guys all on there. No Tari Eason. Tari seemed to not take kindly to that. He got on Twitter yesterday. We know his mom is also always on Twitter, really getting involved with fans and everything. This was Tari. He had a couple of tweets that I noted. I think he had a few more. But one of the ones he had, quote, "If I come off the bench and average the most often in the playoffs, it must have been luck, I guess. Top 10 in stocks, that steals and blocks. Mm-hmm. I must just be out there getting lucky, y'all." And then he also added on top of that another tweet that read as follows. He said, that's the same tweet, but he had a couple of them basically pointed to the idea that he felt like he was wronged not being on the top 100. That's what I was about to ask you. Do you feel like he was wrong?
No, I think he's just outside the top 100, isn't he?
I think so. Like, you pulled up the top 100 there, didn't you?
I did, because I want to point something out to you and ask a question.
Go for it.
Did you see the top five?
No, I missed the top five.
All right. Four of them are foreign born, which I found interesting.
Oh, so obviously Jokic
is number one.
Giannis is going to be up here. SGA is going to be two. That's right.
Luka is three.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Luka, and then
Giannis is four.
Giannis is four. And where's Embiid? I'm interested.
Wemby is five.
That is strong.
Very interesting.
I'm anticipating him being good. I would like to see it before we immediately put him at five.
Well, they did. That's cool. So four out of the five foreign born, which is... interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. But yeah, you had the top 100 in full, right?
I did, and it's right here.
Yeah, who are the last five in the top 100? Just to give
the
us
the last five are Alexander Walker,
Nikhil Alexander Walker,
Peyton Pritchard, Walker Kessler,
okay,
Stephon Castle, and RJ Barrett.
Yeah, Tari Eason could be a little mad. he could be a little mad.
He's right.
I think he's amongst those kind of players. Yeah. The hope that I have is that Tari Eason takes this and uses this as motivation. I think I don't think that he needed this as motivation. He's one of those dudes on the team that typically plays the hardest. Hey, just go ahead and use this, turn this into... Because, I mean, we've seen guys get rewarded by putting it on the table. Namely, we can talk about Amen Thompson, who was not on the top 100 last year and is now in the top 50. What was he, like 37 in that list? Yeah, that acknowledgement can and will come. I think Tari Eason, with more opportunities now that the rotation is kind of slimmed down a little bit and he steps a little bit further up, and hopefully with the shot coming along even better, I think he has an opportunity to display himself to be amongst
them. And then the other little note that I made when I saw the top 10, I mentioned the top five. How about Stephen Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant not in the top five. None of them.
I think that that's the natural occurrence. All those dudes are old.
Yeah.
Right. It used to be that those dudes were like role players. It's kind of amazing that in the modern NBA, those guys are still frontline guys. Yeah. So still in a testament to what those guys are capable of doing at their age, and especially Kevin Durant. He's going to be notable for this team this year. All right. A couple more things I want to mention here in Loop. Today, Football Friday, the fellas of the Drive. Today it's going to be, of course, it's Sean Bajani and Brandon Scott are sitting in for the fellas. They're going to be out and about. And of course, as soon as I was about to give that update, I forgot where I was. I do want to make mention the U of H Texas Tech game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be giving away another 4-pack of tickets for that when we get in the noon hour. So obviously keep up with that. But and of course, yeah, I lost it. I'll get you where the fellas are broadcasted from. I believe it's out in Katy. I believe it's Pop Shot, I believe.
Let me double check.
Yeah, please do. Pop Golf is what it was. There we go.
Oh, a Top Golf. Okay.
Pop Golf. Different than Top Golf. Okay. I'll do that. But I'll get you the information on the other side. That's what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All my attention is geared up for this upcoming segment. As let's talk about let's get a little Texans win because Texans lose because we typically do at one, but I want to do it earlier. Let's get into some of the matchups, what we're looking forward to, and what will determine whether the Texans get a victory on Sunday. Let's do all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously,
hey,
and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast podcast. New episodes drop daily.